الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Bismillah, alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah whom we demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the fire. We pick up where we left off yesterday with advice and direction from the Shaykh Muqbil. And we come to his piece of advice number 16, where the Shaykh, he says, which means, and he warns, or his daughter Umm Abdullah, she says what means, and he used to warn in his sittings, and he used to warn from the sitting with the people of evil and having bad companions. And he would say, indeed, they have a big effect on a person. Just as Allah Ta'ala says about Ahl al-Jannah, فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ فاطلع فرآه في سواء الجحيم قالت الله إن كدت لتردين ولولا نعمة ربي لكنت من المحضرين.
I don't know if they saw that, if they have a translation of the Quran over there. We'll come back to those ayat, inshallah ta'ala. The Shaykh, his daughter, she says that in the two sahihs of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mathul jaleesu s-salihi wa jaleesu s-su ka hamil al-misk wa nafikhi al-kir wa hamil al-misk إما أن تبتاع منه أو تجد منه ريحا طيبة ونافخ الخير إما أن يحرق ثيابك أو تجد منه ريحا منتنية منتنية منت Muntina. Jazakallah khairan. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the example of the righteous sitting companion and the evil sitting companion is like the carrier of misk, or the one who sells sweet smelling oils, and the blacksmith. As far as the one who sells oils, sweet smelling oils, then either you will buy from him or you would smell a good smell from him. But as far as the blacksmith is concerned, either he will burn your clothes or you will smell a filthy smell from him. And it's been narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, a person is on the deen of his close friend, so look at who you take as your close friend. And the poet, he says, which means, if you take someone from amongst the people as a companion, then take the best from amongst them. And don't take the worst from amongst them, or you will be bad along with the bad. And you don't have to ask about a person himself, just ask about his close friend, because everyone follows the example of his close friends. The Shaykh, he used to say, and the satellite dish and the video and the TV are evil sitting companions. Wallahu musta'an. I had it yesterday, might be the same today, that maybe if the Shaykh was more aware of, he might have added, and the internet, with what's going on these days. Wallahu musta'an. Advice number 17, and the Shaykh used to warn against intermingling. And he would say, indeed intermingling in the schools is bad for the education. Advice number 18, and he used to encourage modesty. And he would say that modesty is a virtuous characteristic. And the one who is shy and modest, then he will leave off a lot of what is wrong and bad. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you don't have shame, then do as you like. This is from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Advice number 19, and the Shaykh used to encourage gentleness with the women because of their weakness and their crookedness, and because they're easy to lean towards the wrong direction. As the Messenger of Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, rifqan bil qawarir, or be easy with the women. Authentically collected by Al-Bukhari Muslim on the authority of Anas. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be the best of the people to his wives, as he used to say, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, the best of you are the best of you to his family, and I'm the best of you all to my family. Or the best of you to your wife, the best of you are the best of you to his wife, and I'm the best of you to my wives. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, just as he used to encourage the teaching of the women. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. In Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 6, where Allah Ta'ala says, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. And we have mentioned many times that the meaning of this is, O you who believe, meaning O you husbands who believe, save yourselves and your family from a fire whose fuel is men and stones, means by learning and practicing Islam, teaching it to your families. And Allah Ta'ala, he says to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Surah Al-Taha, verse number 132, where Allah Ta'ala says, and command your family to make the salah and be patient with it. We don't ask you for provisions, we provide for you. And the good ending is for those who fear Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, praising Ismail alayhi salam, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. Surah Maryam, verse number 55, where Allah Ta'ala says, and he used to command his family to make salah and pay zakat, and he was pleasing in the sight of his Lord. And he used to encourage the teaching of the women. And with the teaching of the women, there would be a lot of good in cooperating with the education. Or as she says, so the lady, she would teach her children, and she would teach her family. And this would be good with the women. And then she would do some of the enjoining what is right and the forbidding what is wrong amongst the women, as she would be from amongst them, or something like that. Wallahu a'lam. And there's a big difference between the lady who is ignorant and the man who is ignorant. As the lady who is educated, says, she went to the east and I went to the west, and oh, what a big difference is there from the east and the west. A lady who is educated and fears Allah, she is concerned and eager to develop a strong, upright family. And the ignorant lady, she would spread bad ideas, or the ideas of the common folk in the household, and she would destroy that which a righteous husband is building or developing of education and righteousness in his family. That, and let alone the separation that takes place between her and her husband, because she wants the bad things of this life, and she does not stop at the boundaries set by Allah. The Shaykh is probably looking at his community for sure about this. Wallahu a'lam, if he knew what goes on here, he might encourage not only that the husbands teach the wives, but that the wives teach the husbands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And the Shaykh, he used to encourage helping the women to do good and helping them to seek knowledge, so that he would make it easy for her to seek the knowledge, meaning of Allah's book and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he would take the older children with himself. Advice number 21. And the Shaykh used to advise with lowering the gaze. And when he was asked, is this a major sin, looking at a lady that's not mahram to you, is that a major sin or a minor sin? He would respond that it's a minor sin from amongst the minor sins, because of the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, I never saw anything more looking like a minor sin. From that which Abu Huraira narrates on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kutiba ala ibn Adam nasibahu min az-zina mudrikun dhalika la mahala fa zina al-'ayn an-nadhru wa zina al-lisan an-nutqu, aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been decreed for the children of Adam that they would have their portion of zina. They would fall into it without any escape. And the zina of the eyes is looking, and the zina of the tongue is talking. Or as it said in the hadith. The obligation upon him is to lower his gaze. Because indeed in not doing so, he might fall into a fitna. And being safe, there is nothing that is equal to it. And looking at the opposite sex is from amongst the sins. And all of the sins are fisk, or disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And fisk is leaving, or leaving obedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of this, fisk has been called leaving obedience. Or you call a fasiq the one who has left obedience. Advice number 22, and the last piece of advice of the Shaykh in this collection here. His daughter Umm Abdullah, she says, and he used to prohibit someone having the affiliation with the Wahhabis. And his exact statement was, it is not permissible for anyone to say about himself that I am a Wahhabi, because this is affiliating himself with a person. But as far as affiliating himself with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then this is okay. And likewise, a Salafiyya, that if he affiliates himself with the Salaf al-Salih, meaning that which the Salaf was upon of adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah. We had begun to make some comments on some of the points of the Shaykh, and yesterday we had reached I don't know if we reached this point or not. We'll begin here at point number 7. Or it was point number 6. The Shaykh used to advise with being easy to the people and not chasing the people away from the deen of Allah. And he would say it's important for the student of knowledge to be easy, but that does not mean to authorize everything. But if he finds a liberty or a license, or meaning an easy way out for the Muslims, then he's happy with that. There is no comment on this except that the Shaykh advised with what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam advises with, as Allah Ta'ala makes it clear that this deen is easy, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, and we have to be the same way. But we have to be careful at making everything okay just because we want the easy way out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he spoke about boycotting. And he made it clear that you should take a look at why are you boycotting, and is there any benefit from the boycott? And are you chasing a person away or bringing him back to guidance? And in light of that, we wanted to quote from the statements of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah around this point. The Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says in the Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 28, page 206, which means boycotting differs with the circumstances. Some boycotting would be more severe than others, and what have you. He said, indeed, the objective of the boycott is to shake up the one who's being boycotted and to put him in his place and to bring the masses of the Muslims away from being like him. So if there is a benefit in doing so, whereas boycotting would lead to the limiting of evil and making evil weak, then the boycotting is prescribed. And if the one who is being boycotted and the rest of the people are not affected by the boycott, but rather increases them in evil, and the boycotter himself is weak, meaning it would lead to a more evil situation, then in that case, it is not prescribed Islamically to boycott. Rather, to try to bring the people together, this would be more beneficial than boycotting. And at times, boycotting is more beneficial than being kind or nice to the people. And because of it, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to be nice to some of the people, and he used to boycott others, all the way down to the statement of the Shaykh. The boycotting would be according to the situation. I wanted to quote the statements of the Shaykh, as nowadays, unfortunately, it looks like the Muslims have misunderstood what was the purpose and the objective of boycotting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he had added here, it's necessary that a person looks at the benefit for the person and Islam as an objective for the boycotting. The Shaykh, he says that, or he encourages that we become strangers, meaning that we leave our homelands to go in search of the knowledge. And he said that this is a blessing in it, and it's good for it. And this was the case of the ulama of the past, that they traveled around to get the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the example of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. The Shaykh, he encouraged the students to have trust and faith in their teachers so that they could benefit from them, but at the same time to be mindful of who they take as their teachers so that they could get the most benefit from their learning. The Shaykh, he warned against fanaticism and defense of falsehood, or as he says, or as the Prophet ﷺ says, the call to al-jahiliyyah of racism or nationalism or hizbiyya or the madhab or a blind following of the madhabs. He said, but the sunnah does not divide, and we have no division with us, but it is the arrogance and pride of jahiliyyah that divides. And we might even add in our case, wallahu a'lam, and our inferiority complexes divide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us on the kitab and the sunnah. Shaykh al-Islam, he has a section that we wanted to quote in relationship to that. Let's continue to his next point to make it encompass both of them. The Shaykh warned against Hizbiyya and Bida'ah and sitting with the evil people, and said that working with Bida'ah, with the people of Bida'ah, it weakens the da'wah, the true da'wah to the kitab and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam, in his Majmu' al-Fatawa, he deals with this in a long section that we had read before. This is from volume 28, pages 15 through 21. We'll read some of that, where the Shaykh, he says, volume 11, page 92, where he says, as far as the word az-za'im, or leader, and likewise al-kafil, or al-qabil, or al-dameen, meaning responsible or guarantor or liable or the one in charge, then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٍ from Surah Yusuf, showing that he was in charge. He says that whoever is responsible for a group, then it is said that he is the leader. And if he takes charge in a good way, then he is praised for doing that. And if he does so in a bad way, then he's blamed for doing so. As far as the leader of a group is concerned, then he is the leader of a group that has come together. And they have come together as a group. So if they have come together upon that which Allah commands and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam without adding to that or subtracting from it, then they are believers. And they have for them what the believers have for them, and they have against them what is against the believers. But if they increase or decrease from that, like with the fanaticism towards whoever enters their group with truth or falsehood and turning away from who does not enter into their group, whether he's upon the truth or falsehood, then indeed this is the division that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has blamed, because indeed Allah and His Messenger commands with the jama'ah and unity, and they prohibit from division and differencing. And they command to work together on al-birri wa taqwa, and they warn from working together on sin and transgression. The Shaykh, what he means here, when he says, Wallahu a'lam, and the fanaticism towards those who enter your group with truth or falsehood, that means that a person is only concerned that someone is with him, whether he's right or wrong. This is his only concern, that someone is with him. And those who are with him, he's not concerned whether they're right or wrong. He's only worried that they're not with him. So whoever is with him is okay, even if he's a sinner and disobedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And whoever is not with him is not okay, even if he's obedient to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Shaykh al-Islam, he also adds, in light of this, and this was on volume 28, pages 15 through 21, where the Shaykh says, if a person commits a sin, then it is not permissible to punish him except with the Islamically prescribed punishment, and that it is not for any of the teachers or the scholars to punish anyone with whatever he likes to punish him with. And it's not for anyone to help and support and agree with the teacher or the sheikh on that. Like, for example, the teacher or the sheikh, he commands to boycott a person. So he boycotts that person without him committing a sin against Islam. Or he says, I've sat him down, or he's useless, or something like that. Indeed, this is from that which the qasawasa, the priests and the monks from the Christians, this is what they do, and this is what the rabbis do with the Jews. And this is from what the leaders of deviance do with their followers. But As-Siddiq, meaning Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, who was the Khalifa to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the Ummah, obey me when I obey Allah, and disobey me when I disobey Allah, because there is no obedience to me over you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق, and there is no obedience to the creation and disobedience to the Creator. And he said, "Man amarakum bima'asiya fala tuti'u," and whoever commands you with disobedience, then don't obey him. He says, so if the teacher or the scholar commands to boycott a person, or to make his blood permissible, or to say he's useless or worthless, or to stay away from him or something like that, then you take a look at it. If the person committed a sin against Islam, then he will be punished according to that sin without any adding on. And if he did not commit a sin against Islam, ذَنْبًا شَرْعِيًّا, then it is not permissible to punish him with the objective of pleasing the teacher or anyone else. And it is not for the teachers to gather the people together and to do that which would cause hatred and enmity amongst them. Rather, he should make them be like brothers, cooperating with each other on righteousness and taqwa, just as Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, to the end of the statement of the Shaykh. The Shaykh Muqbil, he had advised with staying away from blind following in the deen. And he warned in particular against blind following him. And he showed that whoever is a blind follower is not from amongst the people of knowledge, but that Allah has given us light. So how can you say that you're a blind follower after the light has come to you? And the Shaykh, he had showed that this is one of the worst diseases that has afflicted the Muslims, this blind following. And then his daughter, she went on to prove that the students of the Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah, that they don't blind follow him. And that is, sometimes they would understand something different. And that is that the daughter of Shaykh Muqbil, as well as the Shaykh himself, as I heard from him on a number of occasions, say that his students do not blind follow him. And that the Shaykh used to take pride and be happy that his students would differ with him on issues. And it's in that we understand the opposite of what some of the Muslims, unfortunately, today are trying to teach us. And that is that no one has a right to understand or disagree with the people of knowledge. And whoever does so is astray. And this is because the people are calling to blind following. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and our wives and our children and the Muslims from one of the biggest diseases that has afflicted them, of blind following. Ameen. The Shaykh, he used to advise with safety and not stirring up the Muslims against the criminal Muslim leaders. And he stood firmly on that. This is something that only the people of the Sunnah will understand, especially in these difficult and trying times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with righteous Muslim rulers. The Shaykh, he used to advise to keep the good reputation of al-Islam. And he used to give examples with saying that the land of the Kufar is the land of war. But he used to say on top of that, that the Muslims in the lands of the Kufar don't have the right to steal or betray the disbelievers or break their promises with them, and so on. And we used to warn against this in the past, like some of the brothers used to make it their habit not to pay their rents, saying that he's a kafir and we're at war with the kafir, or that they would commit zina and say that the lady is only a kafir so I can do as I like with her, and robs banks and post offices and what have you, all in light of we are at war with the people. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Shaykh used to advise he used to advise and encourage the people to uphold the reputation of al-Islam, and that al-Islam is beautiful, and that the Muslims should defend the reputation of al-Islam by learning and practicing the deen of al-Islam, so that when the people think about Islam, whether they believe or not, and the guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least they look at the Muslims
and al-Islam and a good light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he advised with some advice on how to acquire beneficial knowledge. And he says that's by having the taqwa of Allah. That means doing what Allah commands and staying away from what Allah prohibits. And this is the way that we acquire beneficial knowledge. And having sincerity, meaning that we're doing it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, not to be seen by the people. And that we rely on Allah, as Allah is the one who gives the success to whoever He wills. And to sit with students of knowledge who are very eager about their time, and to study together and to benefit from each other. And the Shaykh advised here in this point to write down beneficial points or something like that. And he had advised us with this personally, alhamdulillah, and that is that whenever you go through a book or a lesson, then you should be mindful that whatever is extremely important in that lesson, to write it down. Or if it's on tape, to listen to it again and again. And then to study those points, as you might not find extremely important points in every book or in every lesson. So it's important that whenever you come across something that is extremely important, to really get it down, or as the Shaykh had advised. He said to stay away from problems. I don't know if that's possible these days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And the Shaykh, he encouraged to eat sweet things, or things that by their nature, they are hot, like dates and raisins and honey and ginger. Said that this encourages, or this helps the memory. And the Shaykh, he advised to be mindful of your health, as you won't be able to study and benefit if you're constantly sick. Now this was a lesson too I also learned personally at the University of Medina. They would say, be sick or we'll send you, stay healthy or we'll send you home. Meaning being sick wasn't an excuse from being out of class. That if you continue to be sick, then it's better that you go home and let someone that was more healthy take your place, because you have to be healthy in order to study. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. The Shaykh, he added the last point is the night salat. And the night salat, if we don't see actually how that increases a person's knowledge, beneficial knowledge, the night salat is reading the Quran. And that's the first knowledge that the Muslim acquires, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and contemplating and reflecting upon it. The Shaykh, he, as we started today, warned against sitting with the evil people and taking them as companions. And sometimes just because someone agrees with the position that we're on, even though he's a sinner, we take him as a close companion. But this isn't proper. We have to make sure that our companions are righteous, so that we remain righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he warned against intermingling in the schools. And alhamdulillah, who has blessed us at Madrasat Ahl Sunnah to keep our children separate, or to keep the sexes separate. And I might add, as I don't know if we mentioned this oftentimes, that it cost us upwards to $100,000 a year extra in running Madrasat Ahl Sunnah because of the separation of the sexes. And this is why some of the other schools were amazed that we're able to still keep our doors open with the extra burden of keeping the sexes separate in the school, as all of the schools are aware of the extra financial burden in trying to do so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful. And we hope inshallah ta'ala that it's been so far as Allah ta'ala, He says, as the Shaykh had quoted in one of the points, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah, Allah would help you and make your feet firm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm upon the truth. The Shaykh, he encouraged with shyness, as he says, if
If you don't have any shame, do as you like. Wallahi, we have seen that as our society discourages and fights against shyness and modesty. And we were raised up against it, Wallahu Musta'an, with all of the statements that we might say, he's a cornball, or a jerk, or you scared, or whatever, that we would encourage each other to do bad. But here in Islam, alhamdulillah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us to be shy and to be modest. And this was our Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah, he also encouraged modesty and shyness, as he says this would keep you away from a lot of wrong. He encouraged to be gentle and easy with the women. I wish that we could encourage the brothers with this more so, as many of the brothers, or at least some of the brothers, have been very rough with the women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the women. And this is why it has become unfortunately common practice amongst the women to say, I'm calling the police. And then us brothers are saying to the sisters, you're not Muslim, or you're a bad Muslim because you call the police on the Muslim. And it's not right to call the police on the Muslim. No, it's only right to pistol whip the Muslim lady. Or it's only right to choke the Muslim lady. Or it's only right to push down the pregnant Muslim lady until she loses her baby. Or it's all right to burn the Muslim lady with an iron. Or it's all right to do and to do the many things that you can't imagine that the brothers do to the Muslim women, saying that their mouths are too loud. No matter how much back talk the Muslim women give us, does not give us the right to hurt the women. But we should be gentle and easy with the women, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us. And then to educate and teach the women, as the Shaykh was mentioning here in this piece of advice, the importance of educating the Muslim women. And oh, how many of the Muslim women are ignorant to the affairs of the deen. And because of it, they don't help the husband to be a righteous husband, and they don't help in support of raising the children to be righteous children. And unfortunately, we have had in our area brothers who prevent their women from being educated by not buying them books or tapes, or by not taking them to the masjid, or allowing them to go to the masjid to sit in classes so that might learn Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to benefit their own souls as Muslim sisters and their children and their husbands and the Muslim family. The Shaykh, he also encouraged that we help the women to be seekers of knowledge. And some of the brothers, alhamdulillah, have on the contrary been very helpful to their wives and allowing them to seek the knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of it, it has not only benefited the husband and the sister herself and her children, but it has also benefited the Muslim community in general, as a number of the sisters are holding classes and teaching and advising and answering the questions of the sisters. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them. The Shaykh, he advised with lowering the gaze. I thought that this was amazing, and the pieces of advice that the Shaykh would give constantly, as his daughter was mentioning some of the advices that the Shaykh would give on a regular basis in his class. I guess this is a universal disease of the men, and looking at the women who are not permissible to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. I don't know their case there in Yemen, but all of us bear witness to the evil, ugly case that we have here that results from looking at the women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he gave some nice advice with his statement that being safe, there is nothing better than it. And this is what we should look at and stop being like many of the brothers who say, I get my first look. It's only the second look that there's a problem. So when I take my first look, I make sure that I get a good look. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And this is why it has led to some of the brothers proposing to brothers' wives. We have mentioned this on a couple of occasions. Alhamdulillah, Allah has protected us, may continue to protect us. We haven't mentioned it to the brothers, but brothers have mentioned that they would like to marry sister so-and-so, and I would just mention that sister so-and-so is already married, and not to mention the brother's name for fear that the brother who proposed to the brother's wife might go up and say, "Ah, I'm sorry for proposing to your wife. I didn't know she was married," and then get his tooth knocked out or something like that. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Nor will we go back and mention to the husbands that so-and-so was looking at your wife, because that would be a problem also. Except that we try to educate the brothers and warn them of the evil of looking at the women. And we need to bring our children up upon this too. As some of the young men, they take their time to look at the women. As I was telling the brothers, and they were telling me that that seems to be a little incorrect. I told the brothers, when you stand in front of the men's lounge, that all of the minutes while you're there, you're just picking up sins. So some of the students had asked me, "But we're not even looking at the women." I told them no. But the Prophet ﷺ told us that the feet commit zina, and the zina of the feet are walking. So if you walk to a place where you can see the women walking by, that you're walking to that place, you're getting the sin, and while you're in that place, you're getting the sin, even if you didn't see the women, because that was your intent to go there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and our children from the look, because it starts off at the look, and then it winds up with displeasure to Allah and disgrace for ourselves and our families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he advised against being affiliating ourselves as Wahhabis. And unfortunately, some of the time, some of the people, they call the people of the Sunnah Wahhabis. But we're the people of the Sunnah and the followers of our Salaf al-Saleh. Alhamdulillah. And I hope that we're not known by any name other than this, or characteristic other than this. This was from some of the good advice of our late Shaykh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah, from the book written by his daughter Abdullah, as she talks about the life of her father, rahimahullah, his seeking knowledge and his aqidah and his concern with learning the hadith and spreading it in the Arabic language, and all of his teaching and his students, and how he adhered to the Sunnah and his understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf. And she went all the way to his actual death. Rahimahullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there were any comments or questions on what was presented. If there's no comments, then we'll end here, inshallah ta'ala. Next week we wanted to take a look at one of the lectures of our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani around the principles or the basics of the Da'wah to Salafiyya. And we're going to try to emphasize, inshallah ta'ala, in that lecture, which might be similar to this, that some of the lectures of the ulama, it's important that the students of knowledge, if they're going to deliver or propagate some of those lectures, that it's important that they might take some time to go over them first before they present them to the people, so that they can be brief and more beneficial sometimes than the lecture itself, or other points, as we'll mention, inshallah ta'ala, next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.